John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 22 through to verse 35. And this morning I'm reading from the Plain English Bible. So it's John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 22. The people who had stayed on the east side of the lake knew that only one boat had been there. They also knew that Jesus had not left in it with his disciples. But the next day, some boats from Tiberias sailed near the place where the crowd had eaten the bread for which the Lord had given thanks. They saw that Jesus and his disciples had left. Then they got into the boats and went to Capernaum to look for Jesus. They found him on the west side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you for certain that you are not looking for me because you saw the miracles, but because you ate all the food that you wanted. Don't work for food that spoils. Work for food that gives eternal life. The Son of Man will give you this food, because God the Father has given him the right to do so." "What exactly does God want us to do?" the people asked. Jesus answered, "God wants you to have faith in the one he sent." They replied, "What miracle will you perform so that we can have faith in you? What will you do? For example, when our ancestors were in the desert, they were given manna to eat. It happened just as the scriptures say. God gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then told them, "I tell you for certain that Moses wasn't the one who gave you bread from heaven. My Father is the one who gives you the true bread from heaven. And the bread that God gives is the one who came down from heaven to give life to the world." The people said, "Lord, give us this bread, and don't ever stop." Jesus replied, "I am the bread that gives life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who has faith in me will ever be thirsty." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I think one of the main stories, apart from the Olympics, of course, and all the various gold medals that we've been winning along the way, but one of the main stories, certainly in the Oldham Chronicle this week, has been about a man named Lucky and a great-grandma, Maureen Holt, from Watersheddings. I don't know if any of you have read that story or heard about it, but Maureen Holt had got a winning lottery ticket. And when she went in to redeem it from the shop, the person in the shop said, "Oh, no, it wasn't anything. And you can leave it behind if you like, you know." And she said, "Oh, well, if it's worthless, then yeah." And Lucky then phoned Camelot to claim the £1 million lottery winnings on the ticket. However, they found him out and he's now been taken away. And they, Maureen and her husband have been given their cheque for their £1 million. Something for nothing, a free prize. And as I was reading about that, I was thinking about the people in our account today that we've just read. There they were, and at that time there was large pieces of large groups of people around those areas who had to work for bread and they had to find it wherever they could. And then they suddenly came across this man who could make 5 loaves and 2 fish with a prayer, feed 5,000 plus people and still have 12 baskets of food left over. I have a feeling that the buffet might be a bit like that today, but there we go. So their physical needs were met. Wow, we don't need to go anywhere else. Just stick with this man. He'll sort us out. Every time you want some money, just give some food, just give him a loaf and we'll all be fed. It'd be absolutely brilliant. And we can sort of read that and think, oh, well, yeah, they were only after what they could get. But, you know, the question is, are we really so very different today? Do we come to Jesus only when we want something? Do we turn to him just when things are bad and in a mess? And when everything's fine, do we ignore him and go our own way? But when there's a problem, is he the one that we turn to because we want him to give us something? We want us to sort something out. It was once said, you know, that there are no atheists on a plane that's crashing to the ground. Because when something goes wrong, what's the first words very often that people say? Oh God, please help me. And you know, the people in Jesus' time were no different. They saw Jesus as somebody who could meet their physical hunger. And how did Jesus react to this? You know, how would you feel if you felt that somebody was just coming to you because of what you could do? But he didn't turn them away. What he did was he met them where they were and he turned that conversation to show them what their spiritual need was. Don't go after these things that rot, he said, but work for things that last to eternity. Don't worry about your food. Elsewhere in the Bible we read, don't worry about what you wear or what you'll eat and things like that, because, you know, everybody runs after those. But be concerned about the things for eternity. Where will you spend eternity? That's the question that Jesus was posing to these people on this day. Work for the good things, the things that will earn you jewels in your crown when you go to be with him. And so, as very often happens, when people are presented with something like that, they say, well, what do we have to do? You know, in people's minds, there is very often a thought that we have to earn our salvation, that we have to be good, that we have to say our prayers, that we have to come to church, that we make, you know, and all of these things. What have we got to do? Jesus said, you don't have to do anything except believe. Believe in the one that God has sent. Believe in me, he was saying. Believe in me. And as soon as this word belief came into the conversation, they changed it round. And it was no longer, well, what must we do? But immediately it was, well, what are you going to do to prove so that we can believe? You know, and how often have we heard that? It was a conversation that I overheard not that many weeks ago when someone was saying, do you believe in Jesus? Well, no, not till my team gets promoted, because I keep praying and they've been relegated 4 times. And we might smile, but how much of that is our response to believing in Jesus? How much of it is, well, if he does what I ask him to do, then I'll believe him and I'll trust him. But if he doesn't come up with the goods, then I'm not really interested. What will you do? And then they went on to say, for example, they said, you know, Moses, he provided the manna in the desert. When the Israelites had been in the wilderness, they were 40 years in the wilderness, and they were crying out to God because they had nothing to eat. Moses prayed, and every day manna was provided for them. But the day before the Sabbath, they could collect 2 lots so that they didn't have to do any work on the Sabbath day. Every other day, they only collected enough for that day. But the day before the Sabbath, they could collect 2 lots so that they didn't have to work. But do you know, even then, there were people who, on the day when they were only supposed to collect 1 lot, collected a little bit more. There's always somebody, isn't there? And all of that, it smelt horrible and it got maggots in it. But when they collected 2 lots on the Sabbath, that didn't rot and it didn't smell and it didn't get maggots in it. God provided each day what the people needed. And yet they had this insatiable desire for the food that wasn't good for them. God provided all this for them. And they kept looking back to Egypt and they kept saying, oh, but we had cucumbers and melons and all this fantastic food when we were back in Egypt. And they forgot completely that they were slaves when they'd been in Egypt and all that that had meant, because they were only thinking about their immediate need and their physical hunger. And what about us? Even those of us who have come to belief in the Lord Jesus, Do we ever look back to what life was like before? Do we ever think, oh, well, you know, it wasn't so bad really, and I could do this and I could do that then? And do we long to go back in there and forget that actually we were slaves at that time? And God has called us out from that, and through Jesus he's redeemed us, and he's given us a new path to walk and a new way to be. He offers us the bread that lasts for eternity. Bread is a staple diet food. All cultures eat it. We have a few people within our fellowship here who are celiac and who can't eat bread with wheat in it or gluten in it. But they can still eat a form of bread that doesn't have gluten in it. And bread is one of the few things that is tolerant by most people. And Jesus, when he was, they started the conversation about manna, but he carried it on with this bread. And he was talking to them about being bread and their need for bread. And he uses what was known to them in order to be able to explain more to them about what they needed. And so when they said about, well, Moses gave us bread, he said, it wasn't as you're thinking. But actually, it's God who gives the bread, and God gives the true bread. That was just something that met your physical hunger. But what God is giving you is the true bread of heaven, and that is Jesus. And so when we talk about feeding on him, we're not thinking about having a little piece of bread. Although we do that in our communion service, when we remember that we take the bread and we remember the body of Jesus through that. We take the wine and we remember the blood that was shed on the cross for us. But as we take that into our bodies, we're thinking about the Spirit of Jesus and how he wants to be in us day by day to strengthen us and enable us and equip us to be the people that he has called us to be. You know, all of us like a quick fix. If you look at any of the snack bars and things, it's all the high fat and high calorie and all the things that aren't really good for you. There's not many of us that go out and think, oh, great, I'll have a couple of apples now. It doesn't quite match it somehow, does it, you know? But a Kit Kat bar or a Mars bar, that kind of hits the spot. Or maybe that's just me, but anyway. But, you know, so often we'll go for the junk, personally speaking here. So often I will go for the junk food, but not go for the true food that really nourishes. In the world today, we can go for the junk stuff. We can go for the New Age stuff. We can go for the tarot reading. We can go for the palmist. We can go for reflexology, aromatherapy, you name it. There's loads of it out there. But it's not the real stuff. It's not the stuff that will be there moment by moment, day by day, when life is really difficult. The only one, the true one, is Jesus. And he is the true bread of heaven. He is the one who God has given. This morning we've had a time of thanksgiving for Logan and presenting him to God. That's been a really important part of our service. It's been setting Logan on the start of his faith journey. He has free will, as we share with him, and we have promised as a church to do that, to make available to him the truth of the Lord Jesus, to teach him and instruct him about God's word. There are others who have promised to stand with the family to encourage them to keep within the community of the church and to teach their understanding of the Christian faith. But one day, as for each of us, one day Logan will have to make his own mind up about who it is that he believes in and what it is that he is wanting to commit his life to. And at that time, if he chooses to share with Jesus Christ, to invite him to be the Lord in his life and to ask him to come into his life to lead him and guide him, direct him, that will be the moment when he will go through the waters of baptism and make that commitment to him. It's a tremendous thing that has happened here this morning. Not to think that it's just a naming ceremony. It's far more than that. Deep spiritual things have been happening here this morning. And Jesus is the one who offers eternal life. Each of us have a choice. We can choose. It's open to us. But unless we know, how can we choose? And therefore, the teaching of Jesus is important so that people have a choice. Jesus is the one who offers eternal life. And eternal life doesn't just happen when we die. Eternal life begins now. The moment that we say to Jesus, I believe that when you died on the cross at Calvary, you died in my place. You took my sin upon you. Your blood was spilt in order that I might be forgiven. I ask you now, Lord, to come into my life, into my whole being, to fill me afresh and anew, to renew me, to strengthen me, to equip me day by day, to help me to make the right choices, to go in the direction and plan that you have for my life, to live my life for you, to share your truth with others. That is when eternal life begins, at that moment when we make that choice. Jesus is the one who strengthens and sustains us for all eternity. There are many people that will have been to the Olympics over this time, and I'm not negating the wonderful thrill that they will have had and the fantastic experience. And there will be other experiences that we enjoy as well. But you know, very often they can get lost in the mists of time. And sometimes it's hard for us to remember exactly how we felt or exactly what had happened. But you know, when we choose Jesus, it's always new, always fresh, always precious. We never forget his presence. It never goes away from us. It never withers away or dies, but he is there. His promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Our challenge this morning is, may we never hunger and thirst again, but always hunger and thirst for his righteousness, looking always to Jesus Christ, the true bread of heaven. Amen.